with Mrs. Mary Ireland at 146 Coronado Circle, Montecito, California, February 10th, 1975. It's now approximately 1:10 p.m. This is a continuation of article on Admiral Richard, or I should say on Richard E. Richard B. as in Bravo Black, 35, scientist with Richard Byrd on his second Antarctic expedition, former fire boss in the Hetch Hetchy Tunnel Project at Livermore, and graduate of the University of North Dakota. And he lives in Honolulu. And besides, she's been in the islands for the past year, talking about the coming marriage of he and Alvisa Johnson of Berkeley. So they'll spend their honeymoon seeing California, and they will embark for Honolulu September 7th, and that will be soon enough to see Honolulu. The couple will be married at the bride's parents' home at 2851 Russell Street. They are Mr. and Mrs. J. Sub, S-U-B, Johnson. The bride-to-be is a graduate from Miss Head School and the California School of Fine Arts in San Francisco. The wedding is planned for Thursday. Black sailed for the Antarctic with Admiral Byrd in late 1933. He spent 13 months on the ice barrier as scientist, surveyor, and topographer. Now he's the boss of three Mid-Pacific islets, Jarvis, Howland, and Baker, all owned by the United States. They are administered by the Department of the Interior as meteorological observation outposts. Four times a year, Black makes a tour of inspection to the three islands aboard a Coast Guard cutter. Black took an active part in the search for Amelia Earhart and her navigator Fred Noonan when their plane crashed into the sea on the flight to Howland. He had supervised the construction of the runways on Howland Island for Miss Earhart's takeoff. His mother, Mrs. George E. Black, lives in Grand Forks, North Dakota, and she will be here for the wedding. Mr. Black graduated from the University of North Dakota. I can't quite tell, but I believe that they're going to be married in August 1937, but the possibility was 1938. Here's something on Mrs. Frederick J. Noonan, formerly of the Passadori Sisters, recently married to the late navigator Frederick J. Noonan, is back in the Passadori Salon on Lakeshore Avenue after an absence of a few months. Mrs. Noonan assures us that this fall the salon will come out with the newest ideas brought back from Los Angeles each month by one of the head operators, who Mrs. Noonan will take south with her each month for the purpose of gathering new and novel ideas. New ideas, new hairdresses will be the topic of the day at Passadori, that's P-A-S-S-A-D-O-R-I, this fall. She, this is in the Oakland paper, August 1937, and Lady Kingsford Smith left, wife of the first flyer to cross the Pacific, and Mrs. Fred Noonan, wife of Amelia Earhart's navigator, met on Earhart Road at the Oakland Airport yesterday when Lady Kingsford Smith tarried to see the memorial to her husband. Both women's mates disappeared in trans-ocean flights. Los Angeles, September 23rd. Amelia killed by scientists, journal says. Los Angeles' smug complacency of authority blamed for failure of flight. A charge that Amelia Earhart and Fred Noonan were murdered by dogmatic science headlines the first issue of the Fortean Society magazine, F-O-R-T-E-A-N Society magazine, just out. Unless by some miracle they found land and food and fresh water, they were sent to their death by the smug complacency of authority, of the schoolmen and the physicists and the astronomers, wrote Tiffany Thayer, T-I-F-F-A-N-Y, Thayer, T-H-A-Y-E-R, secretary of the society, a national group of scientific agnostics, including several prominent writers. Thayer referred to geographical and geodetic data compiled with astronomical aid, all generally accepted as correct. He contended science is ignorant of the true nature and dimensions of the Earth and therefore is to blame for the Earhart-Noonan flight failure. The Fortean Society was organized in 1931 by J, as in Juliet, David, D-A-V-I-D, Stern, S-T-E-R-N, newspaper publisher, Thayer, Ben Hecht, Boot Tarkington, Burton Roscoe, B-U-R-T-O-N-R-A-S-C-O-E, Alexander Wolcott, writers Aaron Sussman, A-A-R-O-N, S-U-S-S-M-A-N, and others, to perpetuate the ideas of Charles Fort, C-H-A-R-L-E-S-F-O-R-T, a scientific iconoclast, who suggested, among other things, that the stars might not be so far away and the Earth might be nearly stationary if all evidence was considered. The witty, bizarre Fort's loudest blast at the exclusionism of orthodox science was in his books Lo, that's capital L-O, exclamation mark, published a year before his death in 1932. In his treatment of the Earhart-Noonan flight, Thayer declared the latest and most detailed charts of the South Pacific Ocean prepared by the Hydrographic Office of the U.S. Navy are a crazy quilt of guesswork. He pointed out that a chart embracing the New Guinea Howland Island route and Miss Earhart and her navigator shows 13 islands and reefs whose position or very existence are officially marked doubtful. This chart covers the area from longitude 145 degrees east to 165 west and from latitude 20 north to 15 south. The magnetic compass is erratic in this district, its variations increasing 2 minutes annually, said Thayer, a novelist and former Hollywood movie writer, now in New York. This area is a sort of fairy hell where anything may happen. Huh? Fairy Hall?
Fiery Hill.
No?
Mm-hmm. Fairy Hall.
Fairy Hall, where anything may happen.
Yes.
The expressman delivered a half-filled leather suitcase to Mrs. Mary B. Noonan yesterday. To her, it was like receiving a message from the dead, for the suitcase contained personal belongings of her husband, Frederick J. Noonan, airplane navigator, missing now for more than 3 months with Amelia Earhart in the South Pacific. In Hollywood, the expressman delivered a similar package to George Palmer Putnam, husband of Miss Earhart. Both suitcases were shipped from Ley, New Guinea, just before the flyers jumped for Howland Island last July 2nd. Miss Earhart and Noonan never arrived, and their fate is veiled by the rolling swells of the vast Pacific. The suitcase contained articles of clothing, excess baggage, which the two flyers did not believe they would need on the remaining 3 legs of their flight around the world from Oakland to Oakland. It was necessary to cut down on all excess weight for the 3,700-mile hop from Ley to Howland, so Miss Earhart and Noonan selected their clothing carefully, packed what they had discarded, and prepared it for shipment to the United States. The clothing was first shipped to Port Darwin, Australia, where it awaited a freighter for the trip halfway around the world. Because of the slowness of transportation and frequency of sailings, it took 3 months for the shipment to arrive. In the suitcase sent to Mrs. Noonan were a few shirts, which Fred had laundered last in Miami, Florida, just before he and Miss Earhart started for South America and the flight across the Atlantic, a belt, a whisk broom, and a few odds and ends of clothing. There were no letters or other messages, nothing which might have furnished a clue to what happened to the two flyers, just the suitcase and the clothing, all that was left from the aerial tragedy of the Pacific. And that was written on October 14, 1937. And here's a picture, the last picture of the Earhart flight. And it shows a man standing with his back to us, and his left arm is reaching over and hooked onto his right elbow. And in front of him, on to his right, stands to the far right Noonan. But let me read you the caption of the people. This is the last picture taken of Amelia Earhart and Frederick J. Noonan just before they left Ley, New Guinea, and were lost at sea in their flight to Howland Island. This picture was received yesterday by Mrs. Mary B. Noonan. It shows left to right Mrs. Joubert, J-O-U-B-E-R-T, manager of the Bulolo Gold Dredging Company. Mrs. Joubert, I'm sorry, that was Mr. Joubert, the first one. Mrs. Joubert, Mrs. Jacobs, J-A-C-O-B-S, Miss Earhart, Mr. Jacobs, manager of the New Guinea Goldfields Company, and Noonan. The man with his back to the camera was not identified. Note, New Guinea natives at extreme left. And Miss Earhart has a camera in her hand.
Have you ever seen that picture before?
Yes, I've seen the picture, but I'm not sure of the... Here, Americus Duarte, A-M-E-R-I-C-U-S-D-U-A-R-T-E, completes work on a keystone for Earhart Light to be erected on Howland Island by federal authorities in Honolulu as an unofficial memorial to Amelia Earhart. Albert Fink, supervisor, works on the stone, funds for which were donated by the Women of Hawaii. Miss Earhart and her navigator, Fred Noonan, disappeared last summer on the Trans-Pacific leg of a flight, the world flight scheduled in Oakland. My Life with Amelia Earhart by George Palmer Putnam. An absorbing story of brilliant career. And I don't know what it's saying.
You don't know
what it's published in. Secret of the Yard, Mighty Ton Square. Atlantic, oh, my story told our mate. Frederick J. Mooney, that time, thank you. Mrs. Allen, Miss Freddie. Wait a minute. This says here, Amelia Earhart Memorial. While a plane shone above through treetops, showered the ground with rose petals, Greater Miami officials yesterday planted a royal poinciana tree at the municipal airport as a memorial to Amelia Earhart and Frederick Noonan. Right. Mayor Robert R. Williams performs the planting ceremony as W. Keith Phillips, right, and in the background, N.P. Lowry and Mayor Carl Alt of Hialeah look on. October 1937, it says, from Mrs. Allen, Freddie's cousin. Did you call him Freddie? Did you call Mr. Noonan Freddie? No? Could be another Freddie. But it says, from Mrs. Allen, A-L-L-E-N, Freddie's cousin. It was evidently mailed to her from there. Oh, yes, that's the idea. It's almost, yeah, it's been, I'm not going to be able to make it. All right, call him. Pan American Airways said today that Mrs. Fred J. Noonan, widow of Amelia Earhart Putnam, navigator on their disastrous attempted world flight, has made a reservation in the Clipper leaving the coast January 5th for Honolulu. It was understood here today that Mrs. Noonan is coming to Honolulu for a rest. Well, I'm worried. Okay. Rules of incorporation were filed today as December 19, 1937 for establishment of the Amelia Earhart Foundation, which according to officials of the organization will launch a new search for the missing aviatrix. And there's a season's greetings from Amelia Earhart Foundation in here to Mrs. Noonan. Here's some photos showing the wrecked airplane being offloaded at the City of Los Angeles, berth 158. Photo at center right shows Mr. Putnam, Naval Reserves Officer, that's Ragsdale, listening to radio reports here at search. Above, taking wrecked plane back to U.S. after first crack up at Honolulu. Shows the airplane being offloaded. Mrs. Mary B. Noonan, widow of Frederick J. Noonan, who was lost in the Pacific with Amelia Earhart, was ready to leave for Honolulu and a long vacation day on the Hawaii Clipper. She is shown leaving her home with her baggage out over the Pacific Air route that her husband pioneered and toward where she was lost last July with Amelia Earhart. Mrs. Frederick J. Noonan appeared to go today. Mrs. Noonan, operator of an Oakland beauty shop, was ready for a trip to Honolulu on the Hawaii Clipper, scheduled to leave Alameda Airport late in the afternoon. She will remain in the islands for a prolonged vacation, perhaps 3 months. The former, Mrs. Mary B. Martinelli, and Noonan were married in Yuma in March 37. She's shown leaving with her baggage out of her place in beautiful fur coat on, and she's shown steps in the Clipper waving goodbye. And a picture here, Mrs. Noonan in Honolulu after the Clipper flight. 1,000 pounds of Air Express en route to New Zealand to inaugurate service between America and the land down under. Mrs. Fred Noonan, wife of the missing around the world aide of Amelia Earhart, and Frank V. Birch, president of the Lions International Club, shared the spotlight as the Hawaii Clipper landed at Honolulu after an overnight flight from Alameda. The British consulate, delegations from the Lions Club, and a large gathering of the curious were at the Alameda Airport yesterday to celebrate the takeoff. The New Zealand Air Express was to be transshipped at Honolulu to the Samoan Clipper. Mrs. Noonan described her flight to Honolulu as a pleasure trip. Her husband made the flight many times as navigator for the Clipper planes, which was scheduled to meet with the Lions Club in Hawaii and return to Clipper in Fresno January 22nd. Mrs. Frederick Noonan from Oakland is a guest of the Moana Hotel. Mrs. Noonan has many friends in Honolulu and would like to be entertained by them. After leaving here, her plans include a trip to Escondido, Mexico. It's a Merle Ogden photo. George Palmer Putnam, husband of the late Amelia Earhart, who was lost in the mid-Pacific last February, has sailed for the South Seas with the zoological expedition. With him aboard the Athene as she left San Pedro, California, is shown Ione Reed, a movie stunt girl. Noonan's widow still hopes. This is the Honolulu Star Bulletin, Saturday, January 8th. I still hope and believe Fred is alive. Aloha Nui, Eva Rose, and Clarence Truxler, Dr. and Mrs. Clarence W. Truxler. Mrs. Noonan is here for a rest in Honolulu. She will stop at the Moana Hotels. She still hopes that her husband and Mrs. Earhart will be found. Here's a member showing the South Cruise member of the expedition left to seek for rare marine specimens in the tropic seas aboard the Athene. Lord Palmer Putnam. Mrs. Josephine Greer, secretary for the expedition. Don, D-O-N-E, Keys, cameraman. Ione Reed, actress. Captain Asa Harris, A-S-A Harris, commander. Lord Palmer Putnam, Calvin Wilson, zoologist, Steve Chilson, C-H-I-L-S-O-N, photographer, Winfield Greer, zoologist, John Ram, R-A-M-M, seaman, and rear row crew, Clarence Oliver, Harvey Williams, Marcus Markison, Gus Nicholson, Walter Stillwell, and Gus Johnson. Mrs. Frederick Noonan, guest of Moana Hotel, is being entertained by our many Honolulu friends. She was one of the guests of honor at the cocktail and dinner party given recently by Dr. and Mrs. Clarence W. Trexter. Mrs. Noonan plans to visit Escondido, Mexico before returning to her home in Oakland. Mrs. Frederick Noonan, widow of the late master mariner and navigator with Amelia Earhart, on her tragic round-the-world flight, will reveal episodes in the adventurous life of her husband tomorrow evening at 8:15 over KGU. This is January 12, 1938, Rendezvous with Death. Music joins Pal Noonan. That's a good picture of Fred. I like that picture. U.S. awaits island offer. British hope to use Hawaii as airbase to figure in parley. Administration sources said today the desire of British interest to use Hawaii as a way station on a projected Canada-Australia airline would figure in the diplomatic dispute over ownership of the Pacific Islands of Canton and Enderbury, now claimed to the United States. Secretary Hull said at his press conference the British note of protests against the occupation said merely that Britain reserved its rights to the islands. He said proposals for settlement of the dispute had not yet been received, nor has the State Department received any formal application thus far from British or Dutch aviation interests to land planes in Hawaii. As order issued by British authorities last March put the islands under the administration of the British governor of the nearby Gilbert Islands, a New Zealand party of three men sent to Canton last June. It was learned that a party of seven Hawaiian youths landed on Canton Monday to colonize the islands for the United States. The leader of the New Zealanders, who introduced himself as a British deputy administrator, is reported to have protested the arrival of the new American colonists. Radio dispatches to the Interior Department, however, said the Americans and the New Zealanders were on the best of terms pending settlement of the controversy by diplomats. While the seven Hawaiian colonists were landed at Canton, four others went to Enderbury, carrying with them drums of drinking water and the nucleus of a poultry farm and 400 cans of Hawaiian poi. Except for several carpenters who went along to hasten dwelling construction, their only companions for the next 3 months will be South Sea birds, island rats, and hermit crabs. They will be paid $3 a day expenses. Azzi's eye Britain askance as the United States sees Pacific Islands. This is barren Canton Island in the South Pacific, claimed by Great Britain, but was seized by the United States under orders from President Roosevelt to be used with nearby Enderbury Island as air bases. This photograph was taken last year during a visit by a solar eclipse party, AP Wire photo. Island's ours, Britain says, refuses to yield. Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain told the House of Commons today that Sir Ronald Lindsay, Ambassador of Washington, have been instructed to inform the United States government that Britain reserves her right over the islands of Canton and Enderbury. Chamberlain announced that proposals will be submitted in hope of ending the controversy. It was believed some form of joint control of the two mid-Pacific islands would be proposed by Britain. Canton and Enderbury Islands in the Phoenix Group have been occupied by Hawaiian parties landed by United States Coast Guard cutter. Previously, they had been treated as British territory in British government orders and council. The government debated a direct answer to a proposal in Commons that the United States be allowed to use the huge new dry dock at the Singapore Naval Base by lease or otherwise. Brought back by Mary B. Noonan from Honolulu. Honolulu is only 20 hours away. Hitting them on the nose. How to find an island 2,400 miles away in the world's biggest ocean in spite of rain and gloom of night. Along the airplanes. When airlines, when the clippers take off at left, final flight clearance before one of the big transport clippers gets underway. This scene is at Alameda. Right is the chart room of a Pan American clipper. Is this Fred? Is that picture of Fred, do you know?
Yes.
That is. Just a year ago, the eyes of the world were focused on two gallant flyers, Amelia Earhart and her navigator, Captain Frederick J. Noonan, as they made their last-minute plans for that tragic flight which ended in oblivion. Today, that story of weary and painstaking weeks of search, of breathless suspense, of false hopes, and worldwide despondency ended in an open court of law. Captain Noonan was pronounced legally dead. That was on Oakland, California, Monday, June 20th, 1938. By virtue of modern science, the old story of Enoch Arden, who returned to his mourning wife after years of absence, has been rendered a mere legend, said Austin Donovan, Augustine Donovan, attorney for Mrs. Noonan, AUGUSTINDONOVAN, attorney for Mrs. Noonan. The law recognized that fact today. The resources of the United States Coast Guard and Navy were spent to their fullest on that great search. If the flyers had not plunged beneath the surface of the ocean, they would have been found. The drama of this morning's court session was hidden deeply beneath official testimony given with terse formality by Coast Guard officers. Testifying as to the landing field of Howland, where Miss Earhart's big flying laboratory was to arrive, was Commander Phillips Francis Roach of the Coast Guard cutter Duane. The field was laid out under his supervision. He stated, giving facts and figures relative to the preparation of the field, the general geography of the place, the depths of the water. The water surrounding the island was heavily infested with sharks, he said briefly. Presented by Lieutenant F.K. Johnson, communications officer of the San Francisco Coast Guard Division, with the documents upon which Judge Allen's decision largely rested. It was a 107-page photostatic copy of the radio transcripts and excerpts from the radio log of the Coast Guard cutter Itasca, which stood by at Howland Island during an ill-fated flight and launched the initial search for the Earhart plane. Pryor's widow, Mrs. Mary B. Noonan, widow of Captain Frederick Noonan, companion of tragic flight, yesterday granted letters of administration in the state of her husband, Captain Noonan, was declared legally dead. Earhart's last message was hurried, frantic, and apparently not complete, said the Itasca's radio log. The weather conditions were clear and a sun line was possible. Apparently, Earhart's last message referred to a sun line. There was still a definite feeling that Earhart would make Howland, or that she was down, she would send an SOS with some sort of position. Itasca was purposely conservative in assuming Earhart down. Earhart message washed ashore, branded to Hope. Amelia Earhart. Crossword puzzle. May 7, 1940. New Earhart Noonan search in South Pacific. Yachtsman conducts search for Flyers and Islands group. The haunting question of whether Amelia Earhart and Captain Fred Noonan really perished on the round-the-world flight 3 years ago or landed safely on some remote island bobbed up again today as new searching parties sought the Flyers. Mrs. A.O. Earhart, 425 Kentucky Avenue, Berkeley, received a cablegram from Honolulu today saying that a party on the yacht Yankee had left to search through the Ellis Islands of groups 3,000 miles southwest of Honolulu. Well, I really don't have time. Well, I'd love it, but I hate to take the time because this, to me, is so priceless.
I talked to Mr. Northrup, and he said he'd like you to stop by for a few minutes, even if it's 3:30, 4 o'clock.
All right, he'll be back from the doctor's
room? Yeah, he'll be back by then.
All right.
He wants to see.
Amelia Earhart search plan by Yachtsman Group. Howard Hughes may film epic on life of Earhart. Katherine Hepburn will play the part. Amelia Earhart still living. This is in the Oakland Tribune, March 8, 1942, magazine pictorial. Is Amelia Earhart still living? That's in 1942. Fantastic. This is the absolute best album I have ever seen. I have never seen it.
Mr. Wentworth is a secular.
Don't let me pass in those telegrams. And here's a telegram from, it's a radiogram, a K radio, the international system. Received at 430 13th Street, Oakland, California, Highgate 0203. Standard time indicated on this message. 15 words for the usual price of 10 domestic services. It's March 18, 1937, 11:47 p.m. MRT F26425 equals F, Honolulu, 18609P. NLT, Mrs. Martinelli, 3337 Lakeshore, Oakland, California. Thought of you all night. Thanks for wire. We'll phone you on return, leaving tomorrow. I love you, Fred. Radiogram, Globe Wireless Limited, San Francisco head office, branch office 238 Market Street, main office 311 California Street, 45HUDW61, confirmation copy of phoned message, 33HF Honolulu, TH, March 19th, 6:59 p.m., 1937, March 20th, a.m., 1224, Mrs. Martinelli, 906 Creed Road, Oakland. Leaving tonight, 1:30 a.m. your time. Amelia has asked me to continue with her at least to Darwin, Australia, and possibly around the world. We'll keep you advised. Trip around world will be completed before I can return from Australia. Give my love to Irene. I love you, Fred. I repeat the message. This is from Honolulu. It was filed in Honolulu on March 19th at 6:59 p.m. It was received and stamped March 20th, 1937 at 12:24 a.m. to Mrs. Martinelli, 906 Creed Road, Oakland. Leaving tonight, 1:30 a.m. your time. Stop. Amelia has asked me to continue with her at least to Darwin, Australia, and possibly around the world. Stop. We'll keep you advised. Stop. Trip around the world will be completed before I can return from Australia. Stop. Give my love to Irene. I love you, Fred. Who's Irene?
No. Sure? Should I take you into the bedroom?
Are you tired?